Good morning to you all. Yeah, it's our privilege to be in the presence of the Lord this morning. Well, once again, welcome all our visitors to Reconciliation Baptist Church. Thank you for coming to worship with us. Open your Bibles with me into the book of Leviticus, and I'd like all of you to do open your Bibles because we're going to read together. Leviticus chapter 8. We are reading only the first 13 verses. Whoever has the Bible, please open and I tell you how we're going to read. Okay, if you are ready on Leviticus 8, then I'll begin the reading. Yeah, then when you hear from me together, then you read with your voice. And you read, you'll be reading two verses, okay? So you read those two verses, you stop, I read, then when I say together, you read like that. Thus says the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the bucket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting together. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is... Thank you. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water, and he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band together on him. And in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim, and he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown of the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and consecrated them, and he sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times, and anointed the altar and all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, and anointed him to consecrate him together. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, and clothed them with coats, and tied sashes around their waist, and bound caps on them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray together. Our great God, our great King, our great Prophet, our great High Priest, we stand before your majesty this morning once again, knowing that we are not worthy, but you already shed that precious blood for us once and for all. Reason why we come any time before you to worship you, Lord. Be with us this morning as we go through this text. Let your will be with us. Let Christ be glorified in our midst, and let your saint be edified. In Christ Jesus our Lord we pray. We are done with the first session of Leviticus. Today we are beginning just a brand new portion of this book. And chapter 8 is one of the best chapters in the whole scripture. The Lord is transcendent. Is set apart from all his creatures. He cannot mingle with them. And the reason you know it, he is too holy. And all his creatures are too sinful. But much as his transcendence, again he decided just to come and be with them, with his people. And one of the reasons why he created you is that you have communion with him. And you might say, I'm very important. Haven't you heard some Christians say that Christ cannot, God cannot do anything without mankind? That's what you might be tempted to think when you hear that God created mankind for communion, for relationship with him. Forgetting that God needs no one or nothing. Because imagine you guys are temporal. You have a beginning. God is infinite. He's eternal. Now, if you are very important, that he wanted to create you so that he could work with you, ask yourself, in the eternity past, before he created anything, how was he? He was God in his three persons, and they were okay, they needed nothing else. Then why did he decide to create us and have communion with us, Pastor Bill? The answer is just one. This is the answer to every question you have about God. He does everything according to the counsel of his will. He just does whatever pleases him with all his things. If he wants, he decides to kill you, he kills you, and you will not be wrong. Then the fall comes and the union, the communion is broken. Immediately he started working out the plan of coming back and have communion with mankind. And I came showing you how he did it from his heavens above, where no one can reach, to a mountain. He came closer from the mountain to a tabernacle or tent of gatherings, from there to something else, until as we stand here, you realize that when the people of Israel were at the Mount Sinai, that's where God had finished almost everything with his chosen people. So what we are seeing in the book of Leviticus, God had already done, talked about it in the in Exodus. In chapter 28 of the Exodus, the whole chapter is dedicated to the high priest's garment. And then the whole of chapter 29 talks about the consecration of the priest. In other words, God first nominated the high priest and the priests. Aaron and his children had already been nominated by God. And in Leviticus 8, we are now witnessing the consecration, the ordination of them. That's why this morning we are going to talk about the ceremony of your consecration as priest before the Most Holy God. This is the title of our message this morning. The ceremony of your consecration as priests before the Most Holy God. You say, Pastor Bill, I'm not Aaron, I'm none of his children. But you want to talk about me? Yes, because these were just types. You are the reality. That's why I have to talk to you. This is your ceremony. Listen to me carefully. So God is now consecrating the high priest and the priests to work in his presence between him and his people. Why did we even decide to go through the book of Leviticus at the first place? The book is all about worship. It talks about the holiness of God. Worship does not mean this gathering here from 11 to 1. Worship is a lifestyle. You worship every single second of your life. Or you should be worshiping. Because many of you do fail to worship. And because now you are falling short of the worship of the living God, that's why we decided to come into this book and show you how God is holy, how serious God is with sin that you swim in every single day. This wise God began by bringing up what I call the job description of the high priest and the priests. He nominated them at the foot of Sinai. Remember, don't forget that God had already set aside the whole tribe of Levi to serve in the temple. So they are all servants before him. But within the tribe of Levi, one family found more favor before the Lord. And this is the family of Aaron. For your information, not every Levite could serve as a priest. All Levites could serve only the things of God in the temple. But only the children of Aaron could serve as priests. And grandchildren and grandchildren and great grandchildren, just like that. Meaning that the children of Aaron have nothing to think about priesthood if Aaron is absent. In other words, they are priests because their father has been nominated as high priest. I don't know that you get me on this bill. I want to repeat because it's very crucial. The priesthood of these four sons is linked, is connected to the high priesthood of their father. In other words, if only God had chosen another family among the Levite tribe, then Eliezer, Abihu, and all these other brothers could not even think of being priests. And today we are witnessing the consecration of two, okay, it's one office in two. Aaron as the first high priest, the first ever in Israel, serving as a type of Jesus Christ, the true high priest. And his four sons are also going to be ordained as the very first priest of Israel in our place, or typifying us. Yeah, so as I take you through this sermon, I'll be going into these two offices, the high priest and the priest. From chapter 1 to chapter 7 of Leviticus, God began by giving the order or the commands, the rules about offerings or sacrifices. That's what I call the job description of these who are going to be ordained today. So that after consecrating them, immediately they know what they're supposed to be doing. Obviously, if you have some people, some offices that are working here, but they don't have a job description, give it to them. Yeah, so we just ended the job description of the priests. And in them, they were just serving in form of a shadow because they were not consecrated yet. Today they will be consecrated so that they will start now or continue doing what they were doing officially now. One of the reasons why this book of Leviticus is one of the most beautiful in this book, it's because of the many times it has the Lord spoke to Moses saying. No other book contains the direct God's words from God like this book. I told this to you already. And this very word, that very phrase again, begins chapter 8. To prove to people that this word or the ceremony that we want to look at did not come from Moses' mind at all. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, so that God gives a command, an order. Two commands. One, to bring Aaron and his sons and all that is needed for their consecration. What was needed there? One bull for sin offering, two rams, then a basket of unleavened bread together with an anointed oil. The second command, gather the entire congregation at the entrance of the tabernacle. I don't know whether you've already realized the intensity or the seriousness, the importance of this ceremony before God. Those of you who are good students in class, you'll be linking some things in this ceremony with these sacrifices, the offerings that we've we've been looking at. And you realize that here God only talks of sin offering and burnt offering.
But
as Moses is instructed to offer these two, you see other rites, other things of those other peace offering are also mingled in there. Because when you talk of the offering the fat and the lobe, that is only solely for the peace offering. So in short, almost all those offerings or sacrifices are in this ceremony here today. Moses says this in verse 4, we read this. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Verse 5. And Moses said to the congregation, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done. And that's the end of the introduction of this chapter. Because from verse 6 we are now going to swim into the wheel, the beginning of the ceremony of ordination. Ask yourself, why did Moses also have to tell the congregation that what we want to do here was commanded to me by God? Remember, the people who want to be consecrated today are Moses' family. Same dad, same mom. Aaron was his brother. These four sons are his nephews. People would say, no, you are not bringing the things of family into the work of God. There's no God in this thing. That's why he repeats and says, guys, what I want to do here, I was commanded by God. And wherever they quote words from God direct, you see, according to my Bible, those words are put in quotation marks. So now we want to begin with the consecration ceremony. The people have assembled at the entrance. I think you have now the picture of the tabernacle, right? God is inside there, in the Holy of Holies. So remember, these priests, their work is both at the entrance to do sacrifice to people before they enter, but most of their work is inside the tabernacle at the holy place. So now, but remember, they want to consecrate them outside the entrance. Okay, at the entrance outside the tabernacle. Because they are not worthy to enter there. Everything has to be finished at the entrance. And God does nothing in secret. But this is the difference between sin and righteousness. The things of righteousness are open, and sinful things are always done in darkness, in secret. You want to hide. If you receive some amount of money from some, you don't want anyone to know. Why? But God has invited the whole congregation. And for your information, the consecration is going to be done within 7 days.
Much as they are outside the tabernacle, but they are within the compound of the holy ground. Because God does not allow them to go outside the premises of the tabernacle for 7 days. Remember this. Because once you forget, you miss this, then you'll be missing my sermon today. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar are only going to be ordained as priests because of their dad. Bring another man here. These four sons have to leave the scene. So we go. First, whoever wants to serve as a priest for Christ before the Most Holy God must be washed. That's the first point in this message. We find that in verse 6, which reads, "And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water." And yes, up to there. Now, Moses again, remember, there are some phrases that I don't want you to forget about. The words of Moses. Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded me to do." So Moses has invited Aaron, the first high priest, and his sons, and he alone has to bathe them thoroughly well, from top to toe, with water, much water. But how did he do it? I don't know. Did they remove all the clothes? It's not clear. But whether they removed the clothes or not, he washed them from the top of the head to the toe. If this first ceremony is not well done, the following rites or steps will not continue. And again, Moses is doing all these things very, very carefully. Okay, if you want, you go back to Exodus. Yeah, this last chapter, 28, 29, you'll see more details on about this ceremony. Because he needs to bathe them only according to what God told him to do. Not simply that he said I should bathe them. So come here, and then he gets water and he starts on this left shoulder. Then he says, no! God told him how he should bathe them. The earthly high priest Aaron and all his priests or sons were washed by water. Do you remember, those of you who read the Bible, do you remember that whenever they were to do any sacrifice for the people of God, they had to wash with water, not to bathe, And that's where Islam got the lombo lombo, their rites. You see them before Kusala, they get water, they pass it somewhere there, that it is removing the sins on the hands, on the lips, and on the forehead from your mind. Yeah, there's no Islam, I always tell you, to me there's no Islam, because Islam is just the mixture of Christianity, something from Christianity, something from Judaism, and something from paganism, and here you have Islam. Yeah, so whenever they were about to do any single day to what they want to do sacrifice for the people, they had to wash their hands with water. Different parts of their body. But they could not bathe again. This was the only bathing where they had to be washed the whole body. So I began with the earthly high priest. The divine high priest, who is Jesus, did not need to be washed by anything, because he is already pure. Let me read for you, because you can say, Pastor Bill, how is he pure? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. And verses 26 tell us this. Hebrews 7:26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Holy, innocent, and stained. So do you see the difference between these two high priests? Aaron and Jesus. No one bathed Jesus. Even John the Baptist did not want to baptize him. But because he knew all the rights of the Jewish people, he said, let us do it like this now to fulfill the rights of the bulombolom. Not for the remission of his sins, because he had none, but he wanted to identify with those he came to represent. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, not Aaron. Separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Only the priest of the divine high priest. Listen to this. Only the priest of the divine. Remember, we have two high priests, right? The earthly, who is Aaron, and the divine, who is Jesus. And each high priest has got his own priests. The priests of Aaron are his four sons. The priests of Jesus are you here who are born again. Now listen to this. Only the priests of the divine high priest must be thoroughly washed. Not by mere water like the priest of Aaron, but by the precious blood of their sinless high priest. Only those need to be washed by the blood. Revelation 1, 4, and 6 say this. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Now listen to these following words. To him, this is Jesus, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
In the ceremony of making priests for God, the first activity is the washing. If you sit here this morning, have you been washed by the blood? You don't need water. How many times have you bathed since you were born? Even your preacher does not know the number. We've bathed and bathed and bathed. Sometimes you are just leaving the bathroom. You've been using your expensive soap, right? Then try to do this. Scrub on your face or wherever on your body. You'll be surprised. You are clean. You don't need water. You don't need jeet. You need the blood of Jesus. If you haven't been washed by the blood, you are not a priest of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Well, let me say, don't deceive also yourself. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's how you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is our high priest. When you repent your sins, immediately you are washed. So we are done with the first activity in this mighty ceremony. Secondly, whoever wants to serve as a priest for Christ before the Most Holy God must be clothed with special garments. You've been washed, you are clean. But still you cannot serve before the Holy God. The washing alone is not enough. You need to be clothed with special garments. And here, Moses is going to that next activity. And he begins with the high priest, Aaron. Says, the four of you first be on the side. Because priesthood is about Aaron. And in verse 7 through 9, many verses, the whole of verse 7, 8 and 9, just one person being clothed. Only one verse, verse 13, was covers the clothing of the four. Can you imagine? So we begin with the clothing of the high priest. And again, let me warn you before I start on this one. I'll not take you into details here. Because there is a series that I can give on entitled The High Priest's Garments, and I need at least 8 Sundays. 8 Sundays, if not 10. If not 15. Only on the high priest's garments. Because everything that Moses came and put on the body of Aaron the high priest, everything talks about Jesus Christ, our high priest. Whether big or small. And all the things that were put on him speak to the three offices of Christ.
prophet, priest, and king. So, I'm not really, because otherwise, if you want me to give you the details here, then give me up to 4 p.m. and leave this place. Which we cannot do. But immediately, they are clean, they've been washed. And Moses brings Aaron, his brother. And in verse 7, we read this. And he put the coat, and he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe. Yeah, let me just try to use my notes and just give you the summary I prepared for you. The first clothing is the linen breeches and the linen coat. And these two were made of very white linen. Again, here we don't have all the details. At home you'll get time to go back to Exodus chapter 28. Just do that. This is the Lord's day. Reach home and relax in God's word. Go through the Exodus 28. Moses is doing only what God had commanded him to do. These breeches and coats had to be made in linen, which is very white. And this should be woven without a seam. What is a seam? Yes. No, in Luganda, I wanted to ask you, what is that in Luganda? Because I have no idea. Seam. S-E-A-M. Okay. Yes? Edinda. Thank you. Yeah, so, now, white color. In the Bible, no question is a symbol of purity and cleanliness. Because even the creatures of heaven, when John saw them, he saw them in white robes, meaning they are clean, they are pure. Representing the purity of the great high priest Jesus Christ. So those are the first garments that he had to put on him. He's standing there that they are clothing him. There was also this robe. The robe was also woven without a seam. And a robe speaks of authority. And it is a kingly dress. You know it very well. Even up to these days, we have kingdoms in Uganda. When they want to perform their kingly whatever, they have to be in those robes. And here, this is speaking on the kingship of Jesus Christ. There's that robe. There is that coat. Listen to this. On the day of the atonement, when the high priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies only once in a year, to carry the blood into that place and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. You remember, they have, even up to these days, some of the yambalo of the Jewish people, they have the other inner garment and the outer garments. But only the inner garments were white in color. And according to God's regulations, whenever any high priest wanted to enter the Holy of Holies, he had to remove the outer garments and enter only with wearing this white undergarment. Christ also, when he presented his blood, his own blood for the sins of his people, had his clothes taken from him, remaining with the whiteness of his sinless life. Second clothes, the robe. Okay, that one I've already covered. The third one, the ephod. It was made of gold of blue in color. Three colors. Blue, purple, and scarlet. Yeah, so those are the three colors of the ephod. Blue, purple, and scarlet. And it was fine twined linen. With a cunning work, it was worked on properly by experts. Again, you'll find those details in Exodus. Not everyone could wave this. In the blue, scarlet, and purple, we find the offices of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. All of them, all the three. Yeah, suffice to say that everything on the high priest's garment says something about Christ. We'll be getting time to go through in details through the high priest's garments. So now, okay, again, when you read in details, even in this very chapter, you'll see, then we go to verse 13, the priest's garments. And we simply read this. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with cords and tied sashes around their waist and bound caps on them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, now if you count the details, the things that were put on the high priest and the things that were put on the priest, do you see the similarities? No! No! These ones have been just given coats and sashes. Sashes is this, you see our ladies when they put their dresses, they put this kakarop here. That's the sash, yes. They put them just a few things. Yeah, because so long as the high priest is there, you don't worry. Don't mind. And now as we go to the priest's garments, you see that this also represents something about Christ. John 19:23 tells us this. John Gospel 19 and verse 23 says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. One part for each soldier. Also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless. Did you hear about those clothes about on the high priest? They need to have no seam. Woven in one piece from top to bottom. So you don't need two fabrics, just one from top to bottom. Now, the priest garment in verse 13 is now our garment. We, the priests, of Christ before God. And this is none than nothing than righteousness. Righteousness is turned into the Bible as a clothing. And we begin seeing that in the book of Job 29:14, which says this: I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Do you see how these scriptures are giving us some light even on the high priest's garment? Because Aaron was given a robe, right? Aaron was given a turban. And here, in Job, we are learning that robe and turban also stand for justice. I repeat, 29:14 of Job. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me very well. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Isaiah 61:10 tells us this. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Sorry. I'm on 62. Sorry. We are fallen. 61:10. I said 61. Okay. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. Listen to this. For he has clothed me with a garment of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Again, here the robe is linked with righteousness. And we go to Revelation 19:8, and we read this. 19:8, and he tells us this: it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Yeah, so I think I've labored to show you throughout scripture that our clothing, our garment as priests, not high priest, as priest is righteousness, is justice, is salvation. And this is where you need to measure yourself from. Are you truly a priest of Christ before God? God is holy. He was not holy in the Old Testament. He is holy the way he was then. He requires righteousness, purity. How do you live your life? Okay, let me begin with you, who are already priests. Are you entertaining your mind with the teaching that he paid for my sins, past, present, and future? So I need to live the way I want. If you think like that and you behave like that, you are not one of us. You are one of the tares, the weeds. A true priest needs to know that our high priest needs purity, sanctification from us. I'm not saying that you'll be pure here. But we are struggling to go towards perfection. Not the way you sin willingly. That's why I have trouble with you. I'm not God, I've never saved anyone. I'll never even save a cockroach, never. But allow me to have my doubts on you. They might be wrong. But how are you a priest for Christ? Before who? The most holy God. The work of priest was what? To stand in between God and his people. To offer sacrifices for them so that they could access God. Jesus Christ did that for us. You as a priest don't need to do anything like that. Instead, you need to continue giving daily sacrifices of your own life. And today I'll read from Romans 12. Just to remind you, because you know already what it says. I appeal to you therefore. Paul was not writing to pagans, but Christians like you. And see, he's appealing. He's begging them. Brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you see that the daily sacrifices are not done with yet? That's how we exercise our priesthood, by living daily, presenting your own body, your own life, as a living sacrifice. You are very holy on Sunday here. Every day I see your faces look holy to me. And in private, what do you do? What do you do? Ah, Pastor Bill, also, I don't understand your theology. Our perfection, our righteousness is in Christ. He did everything for us. So that you live like the devil, right? That's not what my Bible tells me. You are not growing. You fall into the same mistakes. Every day, every week, every month, there should be a problem with you. That's why at Abyss we always tell you, my brother David always, makes this alarm. Not that we want to be, this is the church that wants the directions from outside. No. We need to offer our lives as sacrifices to God. It's not only you who's doing what you want to do. We would also want to do what our hearts wants us to do. But we've abandoned them. They could make sense to us, humanly speaking. But the high priest does not want them. And we abandon them. If you know that you serve the Lord in any way, don't just accept because Elder David has put you on the list to come and stand here. Tell him I'm not ready. Or whether to lead the service here, or to preach, or to interpret. You don't just live the way you live and you come and serve Christ here. Don't. You must be having issues with your wife, with your children, workmates. But simply because the rota says you are the one to preach today, you come and preach. Because no one to interpret. You come and interpret. If we had a service without an interpretation, can we die? Can we sin? That's why my brother always tells you, I follow him on Monday, Tuesday. This one is going to lead. This one is going to interpret. This one is going to preach. Please prepare yourself throughout the week. Which king is the king I'm following is the same with the one you are following? You sin without trembling. You sin and you enjoy yourself. You do something today. You confess it. And next week you do the same. There's a problem. Sadly, whoever wants to serve as a priest for Christ before the Most Holy God must be anointed. I'm not saying may be anointed or can be anointed. It is must be anointed. And anointing, to cut the long story short, is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And again, Moses started with the high priest Aaron. Started by anointing him. And then he went to the priests. Verse 12 tells us that. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head. You hear, it begins with the high priest. And anointed him to consecrate him. But then you hear about the anointing of the priest later below there. The whole attention is on the high priest. Because the priesthood stands with him. We put Christ Jesus aside, we are nothing. And John 3:34 tells us that it's only Christ Jesus to whom God poured or gave the Spirit without measure, only on him. Without measure. And when we did Christology at our seminary, a paper that I decided to write was on entitled the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. So there I had to prove to the lecturer that really the Holy Spirit was involved in Christ's life from conception to his ascension. And I could not believe with what my eyes saw in scripture about the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ. And himself said it again in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God is upon me because I've been anointed to bring good news. The Spirit of God is upon me, so I've been anointed. You see, the relationship between the anointing and the Spirit of God. When we come to the priest, now you are also anointed in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Which says this. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You were also anointed. 1 Corinthians also tells us this, chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Don't you know that your body is as a temple of the Holy Spirit? One of the signs that you've been anointed It's one. Your lives have changed. You are here and you are still struggling with your sins. Many of you would like to abandon them, but you don't have that power. It's because you have not been anointed. You are not yet a priest of Christ before God. But if your life changed and you yourself did not understand yourself, what's going on into my life? And even your surroundings said, no, there's something in your life. That's the power of the anointing in you. We would all be watching pornography, I'm telling you. But those here who do not, it's because of the anointing. Pray that the Lord will pour more of His Spirit in you, so that it removes the thirst of sin and it gives you the thirst of righteousness. And fourthly, then we go to, okay, whoever wants to serve as priest for Christ before God, sacrifices must be offered for him or her. And again, down there, verses 14 and 15, we see the sin offering. Verses 18 to 21, we see the burnt offering. And then verses 22 and 23, the ordination offering. We already looked at the offerings, all of them. Psalm 1 has to be killed for your sins. Jesus did it for us.
Yes, yes.
How are you living your life? One thing that impressed me in this chapter is the many times that this phrase went repeated. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. As the Lord commanded Moses. Then you read another portion. As the Lord commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Are you doing things here as the Lord commands you? Are you conducting your living your life as the Lord commands you? Listen the way God ended this. They have slaughtered the bull for sin offering, one ram for burnt offering, another ram for the ordination offering. The meat, no other person from the congregation is supposed to eat. Only the high priest and the priests. And they are not supposed to leave the premises of the tabernacle for 7 days. And they are not supposed to eat anything else except this meat and the unleavened bread in the tabernacle. Whatever you fail to eat, burn it. Verse 35, we read these important words. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days. Performing what the Lord has charged, so that you don't die. For so I have been commanded. Do only what I've told you to do. Don't add even a dot. Don't remove even a dot. So that you don't die. 26 to 36. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. Keep the word so that you do not die. You'll see its meaning in chapter 10. After that, Saturday next Sunday. Next Sunday will be in chapter 9, where the very first sacrifice of the high priest and the priest was accepted by God. And then in chapter 10, you will come back to so that you do not die. You go a bit astray from what God commands you from Scripture. You already have life within you. Does he forbid us from rumor-mongering? He does. Does he forbid us from hating others? He does. Does he ask us to honor him more than any other? He does. What time do you come to church? 11:45. What time do you go for your visa appointment? 1 hour prior. You value things and devalue God. And after that you sing the song, number one, oh very number one. He is not number one in your life. How do you live your life? Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you made us a kingdom of priests before your Father. May you have mercy upon our dear ones here and outside this place who are not yet part of your that kingdom of priests. Thank you for bringing us before the Father. No longer God is not in the Holy of Holies, and we priests are now serving in the Holy. We are with him because he dwells in us. He dwells in us. We sleep with him. We travel with him. We preach with him. We eat food with him. In Christ you have fulfilled your will of reconciliation or reconciling with us. Thank you. May you save those of us here who are still far from you, Lord. Save them. Even we who are your priests, save us. Our lives, we have too much worldliness. And yet we need to continue offering our lives to you as a sacrifice. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus Christ, amen.